We're doing the 10th perek of Psachim. The 10th perek is really focused on what we do on the Seder night. So the first halach in the Mishnah is that in preparation for Pesach, Chazal instituted that from 3 hours prior to the nightfall of Pesach, a person shouldn't eat. So that when it comes time to eat the matzah, which is a biblical mitzvah that night, the person will have an appetite. And that's a better way to perform the mitzvah, that when you eat the matzah, you eat it with an appetite. So Chazal say, 3 hours beforehand, don't sit down for a meal. Afidu she'ani shebiyisrael lo yochal ad sheyasev. And even the poorest man in Israel doesn't eat on this night unless he is leaning. All of us lean when we eat tonight. So not only do we eat the matzah with an appetite, we also eat it when we're leaning like free men. And even the poorest man drinks 4 cups of wine. Seems to be another sign of freedom. The 4 cups correspond to the great freedom that the 4 terms of freedom that we were given. So even the poorest man eats when he's leaning and drinks 4 cups of wine. And even if we have to fund it from the tamchui, which was ordinarily used to fund the meals of those who didn't have the basic necessities, that even food for that day they didn't have. If you had food for that day, so you couldn't get from the tamchui. But here we'd use the tamchui to fund the 4 cups of wine. That's considered the food of that day. Mazagulo kos rishon. The Mishnah continues, okay, we're sitting at the Seder. They pour him the first cup of wine. Remember, we said we drink 4 cups of wine on the Seder night. The Mishnah points out that others would dilute the wine for him. They used to have to dilute their wines. They put in 1 part wine, 3 parts water, and that was called mezigata kos, the dilution of the wine. Mezigulo kos rishon, if they diluted his first cup of wine, b'chamayim v'chalayom achakam v'chalayayin, b'chamayim say you begin with kiddush on the day, you make the whole long kiddush on the day, and only in the end do you say bori pri agafen. That's b'chamayim's opinion, because they say you first had the day, and only then did you bring in the wine. Whereas Beis Hillel will say, no, you wouldn't be able to make Kiddush without the wine. So that's why Beis Hillel will say, you begin by making a Bori Pri Agafen, the way we do every Friday night, and only afterwards do you make the Kiddush on the day. And this Machlokas is on every Shabbos, and it's a Machlokas on every Yom Tov. And we go like Beis Hillel. We begin by saying a Bori Pri Agafen, because without the grape juice we couldn't have Kiddush here. And then we say the blessing of Kiddush.
Do we learn the halacha for Shabbos and all the others from this Mishnah? Or is there other Mishnah that talk about Dafka?
There's Brachot. An identical Mishnah in Brachot, right? Yehuda. Identical Mishnah in Brachot about Shabbos, yeah.
Huh? If that's true, so why on Saturday morning we first say V'shamu B'nei Yisrael to Shabbat and afterwards finish with Bori Pri Agafen?
A good question. Technically, Shabbat morning, all you have to do is the Bori Pri Agafen. Meaning, so the additional psukim are not really a rabbinic institution of a blessing. So they would be a hefsik if you'd say them after the Bori Pri Agafen. So we say them, so to speak, to point out why we're saying this Bori Pri Agafen. But it's not like at night where it's a rabbinic institution or maybe even a biblical obligation to say that blessing of Kiddush. Mishnah Gimel, Heviu lefanav. If they brought before him the vegetables, so that the kid's gonna see, hey, what's going on here? Why are they bringing vegetables now? We're starting off with salad. We don't start with bread. So Heviu lefanav. Again, it's described as they brought before him mitabel b'chazeret. He dips the vegetable, which could be chazeret, that's one type of vegetable he could use. Ideally, you don't use chazeret as the vegetable you're going to dip here, because this dip is just so that the kids will have questions. Hey, why are we eating vegetables before the meal? start the meal and have your vegetables. But the Mishnah is telling you that even in a situation where you only have chazeret, which is the vegetable you can use as maror, even if that's all you got, so you dip it twice, because you could use the chazeret as karpas, you could use that as your first dip. Ad shemagia laparperet hapat. And that's going to be the only thing you're going to eat from the beginning of your kiddush until it comes time to eat your matzah. Until now, for this whole long time of Magid, you're not going to eat anything else. Heviru lefanav matzah v'chazeret v'charoset u'shnei tavshirin. So then, when it comes time to eat the matzah, when it comes time for the meal, so the Mishnah says they bring before him matzah and chazeret. Chazeret is going to be our maror. And charoset, which we make out of apples, ground apples, something to commemorate the mortar. We put in cinnamon. The sticks of cinnamon remind us of the sticks of hay. And we put in almonds to commemorate Israel that were compared to an almond, to walnut. We put in ground up walnuts in the charoset to commemorate the fact that there were Jews who were ground into the mortar. Ushnei tavshirin. So you see, this Mishnah was compiled after the destruction of the temple because they had two items that were cooked in memory of the two sacrifices in the temple, the Paschal offering, the Korban Pesach, and the Korban Shlamim. Afal pi she'en charoset mitzvah. Even though charoset is not really a mitzvah, it's only there so that we could handle the chazeret, the maror, because if you'd eat the maror straight without dipping it in the charoset, it would be too tough on a person. So Chazal said, you got to dip it in the charoset.
Rob, what is this you mentioned about amishos compared to walnut?
From the Song of Songs. El ginat egoz yarati lirot bi be'anachat. So amishos compared to the egoz, to the walnut.
Okay. What's compared to the zayit?
Yeah, we're compared to many things. How are we compared to the walnut? A walnut can be thrown around in the mud, and you take it out and wipe it off, and the food inside remains intact. So to Am Yisrael is thrown around among the nations, and they remain intact internally. He disagrees. He says the charoset is a mitzvah. And so according to Rabbi Tzadok, you make a bracha, shekishan min sos v'tzvon ha'achilas charoses. So we don't do that. Uvamikdash, hayu Mivin lefanav gufosher pesach, in the days of the temple, so they'd bring the actual paschal offering. They'd bring that out there. Okay.
Isn't that inyan that the charos is supposed to be like mortar between the bricks that they lay?
Yeah, yeah.
It's not written here, was it?
No, we mentioned it. Yeah.
Where is that taken from?
So that the commentaries, yeah, the commentaries pointed out over here. That's why is it called charoset? From the word cheres, right? That's the Gemara quotes that that's to commemorate the tit, the mortar, like you said. Okay, and that's cheres is it can also be like ground up earthenware that was used to make the mortar.
Isn't it okay. Interesting in a way that cheres is like piece of pottery or something, right? But then if you break the chet, you get heres.
Oh, yefe. Yefe. Mazagulo kos sheni. So now, at the end of Magid, we drink the second cup of wine. Mekana ben shoel aviv. This is where the son's going to ask his father, he sees that you're pouring the second cup of wine. Remember, what happens? You pour the first cup, you make kiddush. You dip a vegetable, and then you don't start a meal. You pour the second cup. And then the kid asks, Manishtana, what's going on here? So this is where the kid asks, because this is the beginning of Magid. We pour a second cup in the beginning of Magid, so that the kid is going to have a bunch of questions. Vim dat baben, if the kid isn't intelligent enough, avim milamedo, so then the father teaches him how to ask. What does he teach him to ask? So if he's intelligent, he'll ask his own questions. But if he's not intelligent enough, so we teach him. Manishtana. Yeah, you hear the manishtanas for the unintelligent ones. Halayla azem ikol alilot. What is different about this night that caused shebchol alilot anochin chametzu menatzah halayla azeh kolo matzah? That caused that this night we eat only matzah. Every other night we eat all kinds of other vegetables, and tonight, remember, our Mishnah is talking about a guy that couldn't afford any other vegetables for his karpas, so the only vegetable the kid sees is maror. Every other night we can eat our offerings roasted, cooked extremely well done. Tonight, you got to eat it only roast. Ordinarily, we'd have one dip. And the Gemara says it means you don't even dip once at a regular meal. Tonight, we're dipping twice. And the father has to educate the kid in accordance with the kid's understanding. You have the following formula. Matchil b'gnut umsayem b'shevach. You begin with the degradation of Israel, that we were enslaved, and you end with the praise of Israel, that now look at how good we have it, that we're close to Hashem. You take Arami Oved Avi, and that gives you it's like a form you could work with. But again, this is just the basics. The question is, how much do you add to this? So that depends on the kid's intelligence. Do you go into Avadim, what's an Eved, Leparo, how did Paro come to power, what was Paro's effect on us, B'Mitzrayim, what was specific about Mitzrayim, how difficult they were, how cruel they were, Ve'yotzeinu Hashem, how did Hashem take out Mitzrayim, etc. So the details, well, that depends on the intelligence of the kid. But the form, the outline form that you should have is begin with how bad it was and end with how good it is. Rabban Gamliel Hayaomer. So that should always bother us. What's the Hayaomer? Rabban Gamliel used to say. Is it like in Pirkei Avos? He used to say it frequently. Kol shalomar shlosh advarim elu bapesach lo yitzai dechovato. He gives us another form. It's not contradictory, it's supplementary to the form of the other Mishnah. The other Mishnah said in Magid, Matchil b'gnusum sayim b'shevach. Rabban Gamliel comes and says, well, when you tell the storyline, you have to make sure you say the following. Now, the question is, you weren't Yotze what? You weren't Yotze telling the kid, or you weren't Yotze your own responsibility of Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim? When he says, lo Yotze dechovaso, it means you weren't in fulfillment of your minimal responsibility or your optimal responsibility. So that's a discussion among the commentaries here. Is it that he didn't do it in the best possible way? Or it means he wasn't Yotze, he didn't even be the Evid, he didn't do the minimum if he didn't say this much. So we say over here it means you didn't do the optimal. You didn't do the best. Lo Yotze dechavoso doesn't mean you weren't Yotze at all. It means you didn't do the best job you could have done. The best job includes the following details. You have to say, yeah.
Chovato means you have a chov to be optimal?
No, over here, it says that when it says lo yotzei dechovaso, you have to add the word karaui. Lo yotzei dechovaso, you're right. Technically, lo yotzei dechovaso seems to say you didn't do what you should have done. Yeah. So what are the three things that you should say in order to fulfill your obligation optimally? Pesach, Matzah, Maror. Pesach, Hashem Shepesach, HaMakom B'Tev, Tenim Mitzrayim. You have to explain that Pesach is because really we deserve to be crushed like the Egyptians. We were pagans like them. And Hashem hopped over our own, so that's Pesach. So Okay, that's the explanation you have to say. Matzah, just a second. Yeah.
There was a Korban Pesach even before Mitzrayim, wasn't there?
Well, they ate the Korban Pesach on the night that Hashem hopped over their homes.
Right, so clearly before Yitzhak Mitzrayim, there was a Korban Pesach.
Right.
So assuming even before the whole Galut in Mitzrayim, there might have been a Korban Pesach. So the question is, what was the Korban Pesach before Pesach? Before Yitzhak Mitzrayim, what exactly was
so
the
why say there was something beforehand? All it says is there was that night. Mishchu kulechem tzon v'shachatu ha-Pesach.
I think that's the first time?
That's what it seems like from the Torah, yeah. Matzah we see they ate earlier, but Pesach, no.
We didn't both keep all of the Torah.
Okay, so then they kept, for whatever spiritual reasons, their heart to eat Pesach on that night. Right. Every mitzvah has a spiritual correspondence. Meaning we see it from our angle, but spiritually, there's a natural reason why that should be that way too. But we don't know that reason.
What's the answer from this parsha?
What?
This parsha is mentioned matzah and the korbanot. What's that? They're talking about matzah and chametz, about the korban tamid, I think.
So with certain sacrifices, you bring loaves of bread. That's what the kid is asking. With the regular todah sacrifice, I'm used to eating chametz and matzah. How come here it's only matzah? If we're giving thanks, shouldn't you have both? Okay.
We could have a Pesach sacrifice these days, even though we're all impure, but because we're all impure, we could do it?
Technically, yeah. Could seem that way, yeah. Maror al shum shmeru ha-mitzrim et chay avotenu b'mitzrayim. Mark corresponds to the embitterment of our lives, that the Egyptians embittered the lives of our forefathers in Egypt. Okay, so that's Pesach, Matzah. I'm sorry, I skipped Matzah. Shum shenigalu avoteinu mimitzrayim. Matzah is because in the redemption it was so swift that they didn't have time for their bread to rise. And the Mar is Hashem shemeru ha-mitzrim t'chei avoteinu mimitzrayim. Mar is because they embittered our lives in Egypt. V'chol dov dov chayav adam lirot et atzmo kilu hu yatzah mimitzrayim. In every generation, a person has to view himself as though he himself left Egypt. You're going to tell your son who's a minor on that day saying the following, this is why Hashem did it for me when I left Egypt. So you see, you describe it as though it happened to you. Therefore, and this is the conclusion of the Magid, we say this to the kid, therefore, anachnu chayvim lehodot, because Hashem did this to us, we are obligated to give thanks, la'alel, to exalt, l'shabach, to praise, lefa'er, to glorify, l'romem, to uphold, uplift, la'ader, to extol, l'varech, to bless, la'alei, I don't know, l'kales, I don't know how to translate these words, l'misha asal avotein velanu et kol ha'nisim ha'ilu, to the one who did our forefathers and us all these miracles, took us out of slavery to freedom, miyagon from sorrow lesimcha to happiness, and from mourning to day of celebration, from darkness to great light, and from servitude to redemption, and we're going to say the Hallel of Hashem, and that introduces us to the Hallel of Hashem. So how far do you go in the Hallel? I say before the meal, you just go till Eim Abanim Smecha. So say, you go till that point. They both agree that most of the Hallel is left for after the meal, because again, we don't want the kids to fall asleep. So Beis Shammai therefore say, just say one chapter. And Beis Hillel say, being that the first chapter makes no mention of the Exodus from Egypt, so therefore they say, no, say the second chapter too. Say B'tzet Yisrael Mimitzrayim as well. Rabbi Tavon Omer, Asher Galan V'Gal Tavtenu Mimitzrayim V'lo Haya Chotem. Rabbi Tarfon, when he made the blessing that concludes Nahalel on the Seder night, the blessing that really concludes the Maggid, he would just say, blessed is he who redeemed us and our forefathers from Egypt. But he wouldn't have an end to the blessing. Rabbi Akiva would conclude the blessing, and that's what we do, where at the end of Maggid, he concludes the blessing. He begins like Rabbi Tarfon, blessed is Hashem who redeemed us and our forefathers. And then he says, Ken Hashem Elokeinu Elokei Avoteinu, so too Hashem, our God, the God of our forefathers. Yageinu Lemoadim Lirgalim Achirim Abim Likratenu Shalom. We should attain, we should reach the holidays, the regalim that come towards us in peace. Smechim Bivinyan Irecha, happy in the rebuilding of your city. Visasim Bavodatecha, and rejoicing in your service. V'nochal Shem Min Hazvachim Min Hapsachim, and there we should eat from the sacrifices and the paschal offerings. Ad Bocht Hashem Gal Yisrael, till the conclusion of Maggid, which is the blessing of Gal Yisrael. Mazagula Kos Shlishi, so now you eat the meal, and at the end of the meal they pour the third cup, Mevrech Al Mizono. Over the third cup, you say benching. Revi'i, over the fourth cup, Gomer Alav Talel, that's the cup that you hold while you sing the conclusion of the Hallel.
Is there any bracha for Ma on the yain, the first cup?
For us not. Our custom is not.
Because you're, why is that?
Because you're still going on to the second, yeah.
Okay. And third? Because now we're on the third, it's already after.
The third's, you're right. So the third's going to lead us up to the fourth, and then we'll say an after blessing. That's a good question. That's discussed in the Ran, right? That's a big discussion.
Rivi. We bless in every cup of wine.
As Ashkenazim do. Sephardim don't. It's a machlokas rishonim. It's a good question, yeah. You pour the fourth cup and you're going to say Hallel while you hold that fourth cup. And over there you also say the blessing of song. So that's not clear. What's Birkat Ashir? Some say that's Nishmas. Others say that's Yehaleluka. That's the blessing that's after Hallel. So we say both. Ben HaKosot Alalu Im Rotze Lishtot Yishteh. When we were up to the first cups, if you want to drink in between the first cups, that's okay. We're not worried you're going to get drunk, because between the second and third cup, you're eating the meal. So, okay, what do people drink during the meal? They drink wine, so that's okay. Then shishi levilo, but lo ishte. But between the third and fourth cup, we're worried a person's going to get drunk, so he won't be able to finish the halal and the agoda. So Chazal said, don't drink between the third and fourth cup. En maftirin achar ha-pesach afikoman. Okay, so the question is, what does the word maftirin mean? Some say it means to start a speech. Others say it means to leave the meal. At any rate, the idea that the Mishnah is telling us is that after Pesach, we don't go out for afikoman. Afiko man, take out the delicious food, the sweets. You don't bring out dessert after the Paschal offering, because we want the flavor of the Pesach to stay with us for the rest of the night till we go to sleep. So after the Korban Pesach, you don't bring out dessert. Okay, that's the end of the laws of Pesach. Yeshnu miktzatan. Yochelu. Now, let's say during the meal, some people dozed off. So when they wake up, they could continue eating. Kulan, what happens if everyone fell asleep at the table?
Depends how fast they fell asleep, doesn't it?
Yeah, our Mishnah holds not. If everyone fell asleep, lo yochelu. So then when they wake up, they can't continue eating. Because it's going to seem like they ate the Paschal offering in two places, because the first time they were eating, everyone fell asleep, and now it's like a new eating. So Chazal said, no more eating, that's it. Rabbi Yossi Omer, ni nam nemu, if they were only dozing, then you could ask him a question and they know how to answer. They ask him something deep, he's not with you. So then yochelu, but that's not sleep. So then they could eat. Nil dumu, but if they actually fell asleep, so then lo yochelu. Then even though only part of the meal, only part of the people fell asleep, Once it was a real sleep, we say, that's it, you lost it, you can't continue the meal. HaPesach achar chatzot mitamei et hayadayim. The Korban Pesach is until midnight, just like all the mitzvahs of the night. The four cups have to be done by midnight. The Korban Pesach, the Hallel, everything has to be done by midnight. So that's a machlokas, but okay, that's how our Mishnah goes. So after midnight, the Pesach becomes Nosar, a Korban that's past the due date. And then Chazal made an institution that once it becomes Nosar, it makes everyone tummy. So that's to encourage people to finish on time. So Pesach after midnight, mitameh tayadayim. After midnight, it defiles the hands, which means it gets disqualified. You can't eat the Paschal offering after midnight. Hapigul v'anotar. If you have a sacrifice that the Kohen, as he was sacrificing it, said, I'm going to sprinkle the blood on Tuesday. So he's standing here on Thursday, and he says, I'm going to sprinkle the blood on Tuesday. So that's an improper thought. It's an improper statement. You're not allowed to sprinkle the blood so late. So then that disqualifies the sacrifice. That makes it pigul. No, sir, is leftover meat. Apigul manotar mitam'in et hayadayim. So these two forms of disqualified meat, Chazal instituted, they would defile the hands if one touched them. Okay, once we spoke about the Pesach after midnight, so we brought these two halachot. Back to the Pesach. Berach birkat ha-Pesach. If the person made the blessing on eating the Paschal offering, they had a special blessing when they'd eat a sacrifice. So ordinarily, they'd make a blessing. Blessed is he who gave us a mitzvah to eat sacrifices. But on the Pesach offering, they had a special blessing. Blessed is he who commanded us to eat the Paschal offering. So let's say he made the blessing on the Paschal offering. So then that already encompasses the Chagiga that he's going to eat tonight together with the Pesach, because the Chagiga is considered supplementary. It's considered on the sidelines. It's just as a filler towards the Pesach. But if you made a blessing over eating the Chagiga, the sacrifice, which is really your main part of the meal, it's the filler. You'd first eat the Chagiga with your meal, and then for dessert, you'd have a little piece of the Korban Pesach. Remember, the Korban Pesach was this little animal.
So, you wouldn't bless the Pesach and include the Chagiga. You would bless the Chagiga first.
Yep.
What kind of zevach was the Chagiga?
A shlamim. Divrei Rabbi Yishmael. So this is Rabbi Yishmael's opinion. Rabbi Akiva Omer lo zo poter et zo v'lo zo poter et zo. Rabbi Akiva says neither one encompasses the other one. The form of service is done differently for each, and so the Rabbi Yishmael holds that if the blessing of the Pesach encompasses the Chagiga, because technically you could do the Chagiga the same way you do the Pesach, meaning the main part of a blessing, of a sacrifice, there are a few integral components to sacrifice. But one that's like really integral, you're going to see this throughout the Shas, is the Zrikas Hadam, the sprinkling of the blood on the altar. So the Zrika of the Chagiga, they just stand from a distance and sprinkle. The Korban Pesach, you'd actually take it and pour it on the wall. So Rabbi Yishmael holds that if you would pour the Chagiga the same way you do the Korban Pesach, you're yotze. But if you would sprinkle the Pesach the way you do the Chagiga, then you're not yotze. So that's why he says, being that the form of service that you did for the Pesach was also good for the Chagiga, so the blessing on eating the Pesach covers the Chagiga, but not vice versa. Rabbi Akiva holds that however you change it, if you change from Chagiga to Pesach, or Pesach to Chagiga, if you sprinkle what should have been poured, or pour what should have been sprinkled, you're not yotze, and that's why one blessing does not encompass the other. Each one deserves its own blessing. Salik Masechet Pesachim.